chapter 3. Let's jump in. We're going to see these three verses. They're wonderful. And just let's read 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Title of the message, The Glorious Love of the Father. 1 John 3, verse 1 says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Again, title of the message, The Glorious Love of God. First thought I have is, my outline just comes from the Bible. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. I just want to stop on that word, behold. I was kind of shocked. I just looked up, how many times the word behold show up in the Bible? It's like almost 1,500. And so it's kind of shocking, right? So I was going to do a exposition on behold, and I thought, well, no, we'd be here 3 weeks. But it's so interesting, right? It's so interesting, even in the garden, in Genesis chapter 1, God says, Behold, I've given you every fruit of the tree and every seed-bearing tree and every plant for you. He wanted them to see it. He wanted them to focus on it. Now, I thought about this morning. I didn't take time to look it up. But my memory, so some of you correct me if I'm not, maybe it still exists. Is there a furniture polish called Behold? Nobody ever remember that? There is a furniture polish called Behold. Everybody over 55 knows that. Nobody else. Does anybody polish their furniture today? Nobody. No, I know. Back in the day, I don't know why they used to. Maybe they've changed furniture, right? Because if you buy it from IKEA, you know, it's pre-polished and it's just going to fall apart before you ever want to polish it. But Behold was this furniture polish. You'd spray on it. It smelled lemony. And you, until you could see your face in the furniture, right? And so it's got the same concept. Behold. God wants you to behold what manner of love. God wants you to behold his love. I picked some verses because the word behold was kind of just fascinating to me. And I just wanted to go and see. It was just kind of fun for me just to review some of the verses that God wanted us to behold and to pay attention. Look at Matthew 1:20. Behold! And this is referencing back in Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Behold! And here's the key. Behold what Jesus has done. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. That is an amazing thing. You should ponder that. You should just be blown away that God did this so that we might be saved. Look at, I love this. It's one of my favorites. John the Baptist. And I just had a Bible study this week. You go back and check it out. John 1:29. Here's what I'm convinced where John 1:29 comes from. I'm convinced because John is the only one of the Gospels that, maybe Mark doesn't, but I know Matthew and Luke talk about the baptism of Jesus, but John doesn't talk about the baptism of Jesus, right? So I'm convinced, just in your little note, that Jesus was baptized between John 1:18 and John 1:19. That's what I'm convinced of. I've done some study on this. It's kind of fun. So here's what happens. John baptizes Jesus, and what does Jesus do? He disappears into the wilderness for 40 days. And John's job is to be the forerunner and point out Jesus Christ. And he's like, I've lost the Messiah. And so then they come up to him in John 1:19, and they're like, who are you, John? And he's like, I don't really want to be talking about me, but I don't know where the Messiah is. I've lost him. I think Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days. Remember, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then he was tempted in the wilderness. And then I just want you to imagine this. When John 1:29 comes up, I think Jesus comes out of the wilderness and he's like, behold, there he is. I'm tired of talking about me. Behold, just pay attention. Watch, look, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It is God wants us to behold the Lamb of God. I will tell you, it's so exciting. I just had a Bible study this past week. I said, why in the world would John call him the Lamb of God? And you know the response, what response do you love to have? I don't know. You're like, oh, I can't wait to show you why John called Jesus the Lamb of God because he had to be the sacrifice for us. All those animals slaughtered through the years were to just foreshadow what Jesus must do. He must shed his blood. He was the only one that was perfect, without blemish. He was the only one that qualified. And when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," it was, remember this, the Jews wanted him as the lion. Oh, he's coming as the lion in Revelation 19. But he came as a lamb the first time. Do you behold the Lamb? Do you just behold the Lamb? It's amazing. Look at this in John 19, 5 and John 19, 14. This is Pilate as he's dealing with Jesus. He's wanting to get Jesus free, and he's dealing with this group of Pharisees that were just, you think about a kangaroo court. We've heard that a lot recently. It was so set up. It was so fixed. Look at John 19, 5. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto him, "Behold the man." You just got to love this. He's like, look at him. I mean, Jesus was a mess by this time. I mean, Jesus had been scourged, where the Bible says you could count his bones. He was buffeted. They had plucked his beard, the swelling of his face. "Behold the man." Then he says just a few verses later, when he finally gives up trying, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, I think it was the sixth hour of his interrogation, this false trial, the sixth hour of the false trial, and it was the preparation of the Passover about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, "Behold your king. Behold your king." And see, he wasn't their king. The question is he your king? I'm telling you, we're trying to keep it simple here at Hope Baptist Church. The key to life is that we would behold Christ. We would focus on Christ. We would say, I need to understand Christ. We just were reminded again this morning in great, it was good, right? I've told folks that the two issues that Christians struggle with is sin and I'm not doing enough. And so we're just always walking around feeling guilty, feeling bad about ourselves. I'm not doing enough. I should be doing this. I will tell you this. It'll go away when we focus on Jesus Christ and we behold the Lamb. When we behold a virgin conceived. When we behold our King, if he is your King, it is the key. I want you to always remember this. Are you struggling with sin? You need to get your eyes on Christ. And it may be mechanical at first. Somebody told me recently, they said, it feels very mechanical. I said, of course, any new thing that you try to do is going to be mechanical. And then let it become you and who you are. And so, yes, mechanically, begin to focus on Christ. Begin to seek his face in his word. And then it'll become your heart. And then just a few more beholds. I want you to see this. When he came back to that first church service, that Sunday night, he had risen from the dead at dawn that Sunday morning, Luke 24, and he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts?" And he said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." I'm telling you, it fits so beautifully into this passage. What does he do to encourage them? He says, "Behold my hands and my feet." See, the Bible even encourages us to do that. It says, we shall be like him, and we will see him as he is. Whoa, what a day. Oh, what a day. What a day. I tell you this, this is weird. Sometimes Jesus doesn't feel real to me. I've served him a long time. But boy, I need to focus more. Jesus is real, and I will see him one day. And I think he'll go, "Behold my hands and my feet." And it's going to be a great day. You see, if I want to see him for all eternity, I think I need to focus on him now. And I love Acts chapter 7, verse 56. This is when Stephen is being, just right before he is killed, right before he's martyred, right before he's stoned. And it says, "Behold," Stephen speaking, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Now that may seem odd. I want you to understand this. Stephen is being killed. Stephen is being stoned. Stephen is being martyred. And yet he saw the love of God even in that. Because I love this. You mentioned this verse yesterday. Psalm 116, verse 15. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And Stephen, I'm telling you this. How could you say that God was blessing him when they're hurling stones at him? Behold, and he was able to set his eyes on heaven, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing on the right hand of God, and he died in peace. Who would sign up today, say, would you be willing to be stoned for the cause of Christ? And what it would mean is, yes, you're going to be today. Would you sign up for that? I would not. I would be bargaining with the Lord and saying, Damien is a far better candidate than me. How many people need to be stoned today? I don't want it. How many of you want to be a martyr for Christ? I love that. And so some of you, I'll tell you what the definition is later. But I'll tell you, we can trust the Lord if that's what he has, and he's being good. And what did Stephen need to do? And God said, Stephen, you need to see me. I see the heavens opened. And the Lord Jesus Christ just giving him encouragement and confidence and said, I love you, Stephen. I love you, Stephen. It's just behold what manner of love. And then Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds. He's coming again. That's here in 1 John chapter 3, talking about he's coming again. If we get our eyes on the fact that on Jesus and then he's coming again. Now there's a negative side of that for those that don't know him. Look at this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. If you're right with God, what a joy. If you're not right with God, it's the worst day that could ever happen. Behold. Now, I want to just get a couple of things here. Before I get to that, here's a couple of thoughts. I didn't put them in my notes, but I want you to understand this. When we behold him, it takes conscious effort. So it doesn't come naturally. If I was in South Africa and my whole camp flooded, my house flooded, it's really hard to just stay focused. You have to have a great discipline to look up. Noah and I were texting this morning, and I said, I can't wait to see what good is going to come out of this flood. Because God says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God who are called according to purpose. We may not know this side of heaven. But I can tell you there's going to be good come out of a flood to God's people. I can't tell you what that is. I can't tell you that we even know it, this side of heaven. But I know when God says that all things work together for good to those that love God. If you're a believer this morning, everything in your life will work out for good. Should we sin that grace abound? God forbid. It's the most ridiculous thought you could ever have. But I want you to understand this. Behold, we must behold the Lord. We must gaze on him. We must focus on him. It's important. It'll change us. Listen to a commentator. I like this. We cannot keep that great sight before the eye of our minds without effort. You have very resolutely to look away from something else, if amid the dazzling gods of earth you are to see the far-off luster of that heavenly love. He's saying this. This is like 150 years ago. He's saying this. You know what? You've got to focus on keeping your eyes on Christ because there's so many distractions in this world, and they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have television. Horse and buggy. I don't know what would catch your attention down at the farm. Because most of history, they were agricultural because you're just growing what you need to eat, what you need to live on, and you sell the rest so you can... But it's been the same issue. We just have new devices that'll distract us from beholding the Lamb, from beholding God, from being in awe of Him. And then, I'm just going to look in the mirror, then I wonder, why do I struggle with sin? Why do I struggle with kindness? Why do I struggle with just having the words when I need to have the words? It's because I'm not beholding the Lamb. I'm not focused on His love. I'm not just drinking it in. I will tell you, I'm convinced if I focus on His love, it will change my life. Try it. You'll find the Bible's true. I didn't say try Jesus. I'm talking to believers. So what I'm saying is focus on the love of God. If you have one thing to focus on, one thing, don't focus on church attendance. Don't focus on anything else. Don't focus on witnessing. Don't focus on Bible studies. Okay, maybe it's secondary focus. But it's one thing. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and His great love for you. And it will change us, and people will ask you, what has happened to you? You will witness. You will do all those things. But it'll come out of a heart of joy It'll come out of a heart of delight. It'll come out of a heart that says, oh, what a great God. Whereas today, we don't want to sin because it's wrong, versus if we really understood God and His love, we won't want to sin because it dishonors Him. I want you to see these three verses. Remember that phrase, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. What manner? What that means is what quality, what amazement, what manner of love. It's just unspeakable almost. Todd called it ridiculous this morning. It's interesting thought. It's beyond our comprehension. And it's, I think we will be learning about the love of God for all eternity. We shall be like Him, but I don't believe we'll be omniscient. We'll be like Him, but I think we'll be learning for all eternity. But just look at these verses. I want you to know this. Behold what manner of love Jesus has bestowed on us. Is that what it says? No, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. I think you guys just might get that message that I've been toying with for years. And that is on the concept of the Father sending His Son. The concept and the truth is the greatest act of love was God the Father sending Jesus Christ. And so there's a great indication, and I'll do this later in 1 John chapter 4, but I'll do it before Nassim and Maram get back. I'm just kidding. I don't know why I love to do that. It's because they're deserting us for a month. No, they're not. They're missionaries. They're going. And that's why we need to pray for them, right? But it's this. I'm convinced the greatest act of love was God sending His Son. So that would, now guess, if that's true, that would say the greatest act of love was not Jesus dying on the cross. The greatest act of love. Now I've got some more work to do. So don't throw me overboard just yet. I'm convinced the greatest act of love, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. I don't know if we give the Father enough credit for His great love for us. And I think we don't give Jesus enough credit. You can never give any of them too much credit, okay? So I'm not telling you, you have to make a choice, the Father or Jesus. No, you don't. But I think, in my own little mind, my own little mind and heart, I don't give the Father what a great act of love. Look at this. You know this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. How was the love of God manifested? He sent His Son. He said, I'm going to send my Son. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's an amazing thing. I want you to see this second phrase, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. How many of you have ever helped anybody? Seriously, so I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to see a raise of hand. How many of you ever helped people? I mean, I'm just talking serious, right? Maybe serious money, serious time. So how many of you, so I'm serious, keep your hands up, I want to see it. How many of you said, I've poured my life into people and tried to help them? I want to see your hands. All right, now, okay, I want to see if there's any hands raised with this secondary question. How many of you adopted them as your child? Raise your hand. You helped them. Okay, I love that, Don. It's good. There are some, right? I want you to understand this. The love of God did not require Him to make us sons of God or children of God. I want you to understand this too, so there's no debate. When He says that we should be called the sons of God, there'll be no women in heaven. That's a joke, okay? Just relax. You guys are like, I knew he thought that. No, what it's doing is it's highlighting the blessings of the inheritance for the sons, but it's dealing with children. Ladies, you're on equal footing with men. I want you to understand that. So He's going to see this. You're going to see some verses where it says children of God and sons and daughters. When He highlights the sons of God, it's not to discount ladies, but it's saying this, because in history, ladies always were thought of secondarily. Oh, no. Every man, every woman that's in Christ, you will receive the benefit of the sons. You will get that. You've been called children of God. You've been called sons and daughters. I want you to understand this. God could have saved us I make these statements, God could have said this, because everything he does is perfect, so this would almost suggest it's less than perfect. So maybe this is wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. God wasn't obligated to make us his children. Now, here's how you could say he was obligated, because he only does what's the very best, and that's just who he is. But there was no obligation when you help somebody that you have to bring them into your house and adopt them. God said this, "Oh, I love you so much that I'm going to send my son to be slaughtered. He will die, he will be buried, and he'll rise again. And you know what? When he rises again, I'm going to treat you like my son. I'm going to give you all the benefits of my son. And my son will delight in that. And you will be just as my son." Remember what Jesus said in John 17? He says, "I want the world to know." This is what the Father wants to know. "That I love the world as much as I love my son." And that Todd, is ridiculous. That I don't understand. That it seems wrong. That's not right. I want him to love Jesus more than me because he should. But he says this, "I want the world to know that I love them as much as I love my son. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God." I'm telling you, it's just awesome. I've got a few verses for you here. It's John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." I quote that without the enthusiasm and passion that I should have. He gave me the power to become a child of God, a son of God, just by faith. The Father, I just want to show you this. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all tell you how much they delight in you. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:18. I'll look at the 17, 18, and 19 in just a little bit. But it's talking about the Father. And he said, "And I will be a father unto you. I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You know, he's delighting in that. Do you understand that? We walk around so many times thinking, "No, I'm a second-class Christian." There's no such thing. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. We've gone through this. "For both he," that's talking about Jesus, "both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Jesus is not ashamed to call you brethren. I'm going to show you a meme I got this week. I don't think I've laughed this hard at a meme in a long time. I related to this meme, and I think you will too. So I'm going to give you a second just to look at it and tell me if you can see it okay. Can you see that okay? I would love, we could probably vote, and I think most of you could guess who might have sent this to me. That's Ron Smith. Ron sent this to me, and I've never laughed so hard, and it just fit into the message, and I told him I was going to use it. I want to tell you this. Isn't it good? I do love this. I love seeing Christ as just glorious, and this is stud Paul. You know how we elevate Paul, and then I'm a stick figure, you know? But I have news for you. That's not how God views any of us except for Ron. And so I think it's our flesh and the devil that wants us to think of ourselves as second-class citizens. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God." I'll tell you, if I get a hold of that, I'm going to live differently. If I behold that and ponder that and focus on that, it's going to impact me. Look at the Holy Spirit. It says in Romans 8:16, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." God wants you to know if you're saved. He's going to bear witness with you. And I behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. We should be called the sons of God. It is unbelievable. I'm a child of the King. And it's because of the King. And I've got the greatest privilege in the world to honor the King. Now, I want you to understand this. It is, this is what you got to pray for Nassim and Ram. And I worry about my preaching sometimes. Because I focus on, who are you teaching? Who are you witnessing? Who are you telling about Jesus? And you know, I think there is a place for that. But I'll tell you this, if you get the doing ahead of the beholding, you're going to be one wore out, miserable Christian. Okay? So I want you to take a deep breath. I want to be balanced in my preaching, and I do want us to get with it. I want us to serve the Lord, but not before we have beheld Him. That doesn't mean there's going to be a delay. I want you to tell you this. Just begin to behold the Lord today and focus on Him and just dwell on Him and just have fun. Do you not have fun with the Bible? When I looked up all the beholds, sometimes I try to guess. I wonder how many times the word behold. I was not even close. I was thinking 150. So I was like, scratch that one. I'm not doing a behold series. You know, you thought Matthew was long. It'd be like 7 years later. And then the final behold, I had a good time with that. Do you ever have a good time with the Bible? Just searching the scriptures, and all of a sudden, I wouldn't have remembered that the word behold was even in Genesis 1, and I've read it a dozen times in just the past few weeks. And I was like, oh, it's in Genesis 1. Behold. It's in Genesis 2. Behold. 3. Behold, behold, behold. I'm like, behold. You see, I want to encourage you. We ought to be doers of the word. But it'll be an outcome of our beholding on Him. Final thing, and it's a perfect segue. There's Ron again. And I want you to just understand this. Just look at this. I mean, it says that we should be called the sons of God. I give you this verse, Psalm 84:10. For a day in the courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Being called a child of God is better than the greatest job in all the world. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Beyond understanding. Beyond understanding. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God, because we have become the children of God. The world doesn't know us. An outcome of really being grounded in Christ, being saved, beholding Christ, focused on His love, will be an estrangement from the world. The world won't like you. The world won't know you. They're like, who are you? You're going into that. Let this rest in you. What should you do? Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. If you find yourself in the middle, and I'll be shocked if you don't, discouraged, feeling like you failed, get back and behold and get your eyes back on Christ. Maybe you should tonight, since you've got plenty of time and you're all ready to go, just print out some verses about the Lord Jesus Christ and His love so you can turn to that quickly. Behold, right? The world won't know you. It's validated here in John 15. It says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me. Jesus is speaking here. If you were of the world would love his own. I want to ask you this. Does the world love you? That's a red flag. We ought to be kind. We ought to be nice. But they ought to be a little uncomfortable around us. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Stephen was an outcome of that final verse. But here's the reality. It is, the world won't know you. We have to reach the world for Jesus Christ. It's not by being like them. We need the power of God. We need the truth of God. And I know I'm a broken record on this. I'm so convinced. Jeff, he had a previously scheduled appointment. He was here for Sunday school. He's going to be here this afternoon. And he said, before I was saved, I had this thing I've got to go to, and he's coming back for the afternoon service. But he was witnessing to a family member this past week, and he tried twice. And so, you know, you got to understand, he came to this point in the conversation where Jeff told this person, he goes, I think you're lost. And they're like, excuse me? He said it went downhill from there. And he said, he said, but it didn't end up in yelling and screaming. And he goes, previously it might. He says, so I tried again 2 days later. He said, it started out worse than the other one did. He said, but it didn't end up in screaming and yelling. So then he looks at me and goes, what do I do next? And I told him, I said, Jeff, if you'd asked me 10, 12 years ago, I'd have just said, pray and try again. I said, you need to get this person in the Word of God. Teach them the Bible without an agenda. And I think this person will say yes. Just say, why don't you just study the Bible with me? Why don't you just open the Bible up and let's just see what the Bible says? Because, you know what? I think we both would agree. The Bible's good. And I said, Jeff, it is good to witness. And you've laid the groundwork. And I said, now you just need to teach the Bible. And you know what I love about this guy? He's only been saved a month. He goes, I'll do it. You know what? Jeff knows less than anybody in this room. I mean, I can't imagine. So he's not here, so I'm talking about him all the time. I doubt he's watching. And so, Jeff, if you're watching, I'm testing your unction again. Go back a few weeks. But he didn't mind. You know what he said the first week? He said, if God will use that, then I'm thrilled for God to use it. Don't you love that? And he's only been saved a little while. But here's this guy. He said, I'll teach it. He said, but you're going to have to help me before each week that I teach. I said, I'll gladly do that. And I said, never teach something that you don't know. Just teach the Bible and teach what you know. And if they ask you a question, go, that's a great question. Let me write that down. And I'll tell you this, the world doesn't know us, but we have to reach the world. And then finally, I've showed you that verse. As believers, and I'm going to come back next week, but I've got to get a move on it. Come back next week. We will be like him. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. And so there is a mystery what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, Jesus is coming again, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That will be the greatest point of heaven. That is what all of heaven will be, that we will be like him and we will see him as he is, and we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't like beholding him today, I doubt you'll be holding him for eternity. And so we shall be like him. And then I will tell you this, verse 3, it's amazing. And every man that hath this hope, that word hope there means confident expectation. It doesn't mean wishy-washy, cross my fingers, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. It's not like when we say, I hope I win the lottery. No, that's ridiculous. You won't, so don't play it. And so it's every man that hath this hope, the confident expectation that Jesus is enough, that he, we'll see it this afternoon, we heard it this morning, that he completed the work, it's done, it's finished, he is enough. And I had that hope, not in Steve, not in anything I'm doing. I am not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. In fact, my life is going to be harder. I think the Lord, when he judges me, rightly so, for all that I've done, for my rewards, I believe I will get less rewards because I'm a preacher. The Bible teaches that I will be held more accountable, justly so, because people underneath me, you actually believe me. You listen to me. And I want to preach the truth. You're going to be held accountable if I'm teaching you wrong. But I'll be held far more accountable for teaching you wrong. I don't know of anything I'm wrong about today, but neither do you. So you're like, you're so arrogant, you know. Somebody told me once, they go, you know, when you talk, you always think you're right. You've heard me say this. And I told them, I said, and you think you're wrong usually when you talk? But apparently I say it with a little bravado, right? I'm like, but it's this. It's the Lord. It says this. Look at verse 3. And every man that hath this hope, this confidence in Christ, it's got to be in Christ, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Todd, you touched on this morning. I wish I had time to drill down. I will a little bit next week. You said it. If we focus on the love of God, it will lead to holiness. I want you to understand this. I summarized this morning that says this. The struggles of Christians are sin and lack of serving the Lord. And we focus on our sin, and it doesn't seem to help. And then we focus on our lack of service, and it doesn't seem to help. We need to focus on Christ. And when we focus on Christ and we behold his love and we understand the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, you've got to figure this out. You have to pursue Christ. You have to seek to know Christ deeper. Ask him, Lord, I want to know you so that it'll change my life, so that it'll lead me to greater honor for you. I don't care if anybody else recognizes it. I just want to honor you. And when you know Christ, when you behold Christ, when you see him, you will purify yourselves even as he is pure, because that's what focusing on the love of God is. That's what's missing even in my preaching. And by God's grace, I'm going to give you a triple dose of it to make up for past failures. When we focus on Christ, it'll lead to purity. When we focus on Christ, it'll lead to holiness. I don't want us to be about rules. I don't want us to say, oh, you're unholy, I don't like you. No, it's personal, it's individual. When I focus on Christ, when I just love and honor Jesus Christ, it will lead to purity, because I will know him and I will want to be like him. And if I'm going to be like him, he is righteous. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It's a verse that I need here. I got it here. But I still feel like I flounder. I've told you, you all know that I'm going to turn 50 years old in the Lord this August. I was saved in the womb. Just kidding. So I'm a little older than 50. No, I was 8 years old, just so you know. So I'll be saved 50 years old. You know, I've missed what I preached this morning most of my life. I love to work. I love to do. I focused on doing. And I love to do. But I've never had the victory over sin that I should have. And I just feel like taking a sledgehammer. It's just my personality, right? It's just, and I've missed it. You see, I think I've missed even the rewards of God for doing when I didn't do it in love. This will be the key. And I pray God will let me live long enough that I can testify of his goodness. Focused on the love of God will lead me to purify myself as never before. And when I purify myself as never before, I'll be more merciful. I won't be more judgmental. I won't be more harsh. I'll be more loving. You see, when I purify myself even as he is pure, I will have his eyes and his mercy. And is his eyes say, I died for you. I will save you if you only believe. You see, the key in life, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. Hope you're not tired of hearing about it. It is, will you help me? Let's pursue Christ. And I think the floodgates are ready to open. We'll love people the way they should be loved. We'll honor Christ the way he deserves. And I'll purify myself as never before. And I'll love doing his work. Here's the question. Are you saved? And then secondly, what's been your focus? If you're saved, our floundering is because we've missed the wrong focus. You don't need another book. You need to focus on the love of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for